KEDQ, listening for any calls.
Good morning, Mr. KEDQ, K2PCV here.
Good morning, K2PCV. How are you? It's a Wednesday, halfway through the week.
Well, so far so good. A little cold this morning, and but I got the heater on, have the heated seats warming out. I'm adjusting to it. We'll get there. I don't know why it feels colder than previous days today, but yeah, we'll be inside in a few minutes, so that's not too bad. How are things going with you?
So far so good for an early Wednesday morning. It is cold. I did see on the phone that it was 15 degrees out there. I didn't think it was going to get that cold, but yeah, another cold morning. It seems like we're in this cycle for right now, but I see rain's coming this week.
Yeah, I think Lynn was saying that we're supposed to have some kind of warm-up and then cold again. Yeah, we're definitely cycling, that's for sure. It is what it is. I don't have any anything major planned that the cold or the wet will affect. So, you know, it's interesting. I was cruising behind this guy here in what looks like a Chevy Cruze or something, gray, nothing special. And I noticed it's got a whole light set in there, like a cop car, unmarked cop car. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know we had one of these here. But I get up to where the Alden Elementary School is, and the sheriff's station is out front there. And lo and behold, the car pulls in there as we're cruising by.
Interesting. I don't think I've seen that one around. I'll have to be more observant. But it does make sense.
Pull me to the Chevy Cruze. It could have been a similar sedan looking vehicle. I could only see it from the backside, but the way the lights were reflecting in the back window, it jumped right out at me in the glare, and think, that's not a normal third tail light configuration.
Yeah, those are the details that you got to pick up on. Yeah, it's funny how we can spot something different.
Yeah, normally it's things like no luggage rack on a, what do you call it, like an Explorer or something. Obviously the lack of aluminum rims with those plain hubcaps. Those are some dead giveaways. That and the searchlight, the spotlight. Sometimes people have those for, maybe their business or deer spotting or something like that. But yeah, all telltale giveaways.
Yep, those are all giveaways. When you mentioned the remote spotlights that the cop cars have, there was actually a time, and I saw this on YouTube because I watch way too much YouTube anymore, where that was a standard feature on certain makes of cars, was to have that remote spotlight on the driver's side.
Yeah, there was a point in time where I would have thought that was pretty cool, and if I came across one cheap, I could see installing that. I mentioned the deer spotting because we used to do that quite a bit. We'd get out the big, million candle power spotlight and go out and light up the fields. And we were not hunting. We were just doing it for fun. We're going to go spotting. We're going to go spotting tonight. And we'll go out in the middle of the night just, because we're up. And a couple of us pile in a truck and we go for a ride. And, it was not an uncommon thing to do for where we live and my friend group.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times too, gone spotting. The big thing is you got to make sure you've got to make sure nowadays, especially, no firearms in the vehicle at all. Yeah, it's perfect.
about that back then, but that definitely makes sense. Yeah, and it's been a long time since I've done that. In fact, I don't even think I have a... I have spotlights that would serve that purpose, but they're more for home use. You know, like you're setting up a light and you want to light up a room while you're painting or something, or you're working on a vehicle. And I've got one that runs on 18650 batteries, which is really nice. But no, I don't even have anything portable. The last one I had was a rechargeable. You know, it's got the trigger grip and, you know, really nice, but the batteries died years ago. And I never put new batteries in it, and I just let that one go. It wasn't that bright as if it was running off the cigarette lighter plug, so I didn't worry about it too much. But, yeah, and plus we always knew where we were going. We were looking in certain fields where we knew they tend to be. We weren't lighting up people's houses and that. It was a lot of fun. Made me reminisce a little bit there.
Yeah, one time when we lived in Olean, I took the kids to Allegheny State Park right around dusk, and there was so many deer, and one actually ran into the side of our car, put a little ripple in the door. It was, the kids were kind of scared a little bit because they were still young, sitting in car seats at the time. But it was kind of cool to see all those deer in one spot. Speaking of deer, the other day in my neighborhood, I saw a group of deer, I don't know, a herd of deer, seven or eight of them, in our neighborhood again. And, you know, I live right in the village, so they're encroaching.
I think when you cruise around pretty late, you know, after, you know, the humans settle down, you know, 2, 3, 3:30 in the morning, when I'm out there every once in a while, I will start to see them in places I don't normally see them. When I used to start at 5 o'clock, so I'd be on the road at 4:30, roll into the village, you'd still see them cruising around. I'd see a lot of them over by our work, or my work, these days. Not uncommon. And, it's cool, you know, like you're coming home from the drive-in or something, and it's a late one, and you're cruising home at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, you're seeing them walking through a Wegmans parking lot or something. It's just, you're right, it's so out of place. But they're there. I think a lot of times we just, we don't see them because they find good places to hide during the day.
Yeah, last year we had one that was a female that was hiding, and I'm using the term loosely there, or air quotes, hiding in our yard. And, just, you know, munching on the grass and our plants, our hydrangeas and stuff. So I put up some stuff to hopefully keep her out this year, because I think it was the same one that was here a couple years ago. So hopefully I can keep her out of the yard, just because we don't need to have deer in our yard. So this is KD2GDQ.
Yeah, where we grew up, we had a garden there very often, and sometimes we would get, you know, our garden would get eaten out by the local wildlife, and that was unfortunate. But we never really did anything to keep them out. Even the rabbits, you know, they're going in, they're eating some of your leafy greens, and we didn't have too big of a problem, but they were always there. My dad has a trail cam he likes to put up to catch pictures of things that are traveling through the backyard or the trail that goes off the back of the property, and that's cool. They can come and go, and we didn't mind so much. But yeah, if you're in a sort of a confined space, especially if the kids are around, and they're feeling very comfortable, that it's not a good situation. But for them, you know, that's a non-hunting zone. that's a safe zone for them.
Exactly. You know, there's plenty of food and food to eat. You know, people's plants, and probably small gardens, and they're eating them. So the food source is pretty good. So all they just need is a place to hide. And so it does lead to higher reproduction rates. And so they're taking over in, you know, in urban areas where they typically wouldn't. And, you know, there's no way to really get rid of them because, you know, you can't hunt them, you know, because you really, you know, can't shoot them within, you know, so many feet of a, at least the average citizen can't. DEC probably could. Cops obviously could, especially if it was injured and stuff. But normally you don't, they're not hunted, so they do, continue, the herd continues to grow.
Yeah, for say Lancaster there, there's at least for the village, you know, they're still handing out extra tags to the population this year. Yeah, you have to hope that they get pushed out and migrate to areas where they are fair game, if you will. This is KQPCB. I've got 639. I'll pause and say good morning to anyone else that's waiting to get in.
KQPCB. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ross. Welcome to Wednesday. Welcome to the conversation.
Yep, hopefully it's the last cold day of the year. Hopefully a spring starts to spring up.
I think spring's coming this Friday, whether it brings the warm weather with it or not, that I don't know. We were just talking about deer population. What's the deer population look like where you live?
We got two doe, and this year we had a couple of about three or four fawn running around in my backyard. There's an apple tree back there, or crab apple tree, and they seem to like that a lot.
Oh yeah, there you go. There's another food source for them. Those crab apple trees, they're plentiful, especially out our way.
My dad gets a whole bunch of them. He puts actually a salt brick out back there. They love that. He gets a lot more than I do. He probably gets a whole herd of them. I don't know if that's exactly a good thing to be doing, but he likes seeing them back there.
Yeah, last night, I think I was mentioning yesterday, the day before, that I was starting to feel like I was getting this cold back again. And I think I'm a little better today than I was Monday and Tuesday. But yesterday I left 8 hours, and after 8 hours took off, ate dinner, and I crashed early. I probably went to bed a couple minutes after 6 o'clock and slept all the way through until this morning. So maybe I fell asleep somewhere between 6 and 6:30. That was a long night's sleep for me. Hopefully that helps. If depending on how I feel this afternoon, I might even do it again tonight.
Yeah, I tried telling Megan when she kept telling me I was sick. She's like, no, Austin, I had a lot of sinus pressure, which was, I think that was about 2 days. And I did feel like I had a cold. And she was asking if I was getting sick. I'm like, I don't know. I know, sometimes it's just a head cold. Today I feel like great. I know I can't get rid of a cold in like 2 days. It just doesn't happen that way. But yeah, there's been something weird going around.
Yeah, it seems like it's everywhere. Not just at work, it's everywhere. Somebody's got something. I think it's weather related. It's got to be what it is. All right, it's 6:44, so I'll make this my final. And I'll let you guys pick it back up for the rest of your ride, and I shall talk to y'all soon. This is K2PCB, 73.
73 is K2PCB. This is KE2GDQ. How about KC2PET? How are you doing today?
Well, aside from the cold, doing about much better. Like I said, I had something going on the last couple of days. Now it seems to be gone in one day.
Yeah, well, you where you guys work and you know, in confined spaces like that, and so many people coming to work sick, and it's not surprising. This winter was, I think I've only had one cold, and it wasn't surprising when I was at work that I would get two, maybe three colds during the winter. This year was only one, and it only lasted a few days. So I attribute that to being home all the time. So hopefully you get over your cold pretty quick.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it was a cold. I had it, like I said, like Tuesday. I think maybe Monday or Tuesday. Maybe Monday it was really crap. But then after that, it's like, you know, felt a lot better Tuesday. And then today, it's like gone. I don't even have it. So I think it was something else. I don't think it was quite cold.
Yeah, this time of year can be allergies too. Especially as the snow melts and dirt becomes visible again, and the wind starts blowing. Especially like we've had, the last few days. I can believe that it would stir up some allergies.
Well, did you get to play around with your cross fan on your radio yet, or did you have time yesterday?
I did. I did play around with it a little bit, but I couldn't seem to get it to work. So this morning I logged into Mr. Google and typed it in, and I think there's a step. The instructions aren't very clear. So I think when I get to the A transmit, I have to go into that menu and set up that frequency, and then I have to go in, but I don't see a receive one, so I'm not sure how that works. So I'm going to do some research today and see if I can't find a YouTube video or something about it.
Well, normally how they work is the right side either pick UHF, VHF, and the left side has to be whatever the opposite band is that you pick on the one, and then set your PL tone if you want them or not, and then it should be something that says like EX start. Some say have an X start. That means you have the right crossband. So you have to go a little into the menus and enable it. And maybe on yours, maybe you might be able to set that as a function buttons on the front. I don't know that particular model, but it's most of the ones I've used have all that features in them.
Yeah, I get to the menu where it says repeater crossband, and then I can turn the knob to either A side, which would be the left side, to transmit, or the B side to transmit, and then it says press a key on the front of the unit, and when I do that, it comes back to A transmit. So I'm not really sure what's going on, but hopefully today I can get it straightened out. So you may end up hearing, if you're monitoring your node, you may end up hearing some blips and beeps.
Oh yeah, I use that. That could be your indicator too that's working. I don't monitor it. At work, I can't even really hear it inside the building. So sadly, I wish I could have. But that'd be a good indicator if it's working or not for you, so you hear my notes come back.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That I would transmit, I guess on that frequency, and then receive on a different one. So I got to figure that out.
Yeah, that's kind of I've never heard of that feature before. Which side do you want to transmit on? Mine is you set it up, and it shouldn't matter which side you transmit, because you're going to want to do both of them. They're going to want to transmit on both sides. So yeah, that's kind of odd. I should be able to, like I said, just you should be able to pick both frequencies you want on both sides, and then It's just you'd be able to hit start or something like that, and then it will transmit and receive on both sides, and then just cross band like it normally should.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought, because when I got to thinking about it is, so if I've got my handheld and I've got it on a different frequency than, say, you know, 147.475, that's the one that I want to transmit, I don't know. I'm going to watch some videos and let's see what happens.
Also on other topics, did you, I know you made that antenna, did you be able to get some satellites with that? Have you played around with that one yet?
No, I didn't. I downloaded a app to my phone that tracks satellites, but it gives different names. Well, I won't say different names. I wasn't able to pick the name of the satellite that I wanted to track because there was so many, and I can't track them all, obviously. So I was struggling to figure out which ones to track. So I'm probably going to end up having to do is download something to the computer so I can track them and find out the names of them and then track them on the app on the phone so that when I go out in the field, then I can know where they're going to be. It's just one of those things that kind of fell by the wayside. It's like I'd love to do it today, but I'm going down to my daughter's and help her with some stuff around her house today. So you never know.
Oh yeah, you gotta help your kids out. I know my role's been reversed. It seems like I gotta help my parents out now. So let's just stay down there. But yeah, it's good that you get to help your daughter out. Ham radio will always be there. I know I would like to get more into doing that kind of stuff. I'm in the same boat you are. I don't have time to. I used to make those antennas and stuff. I still make TV antennas because people want them. I'll make them for them. But I haven't been able to track a satellite or anything. I've heard of before, but they actually now they have software. They have actually a robotic arm that you can build, and it will be set up on your computer. It'll track it for you.
That does not surprise me because I know years ago I was looking into getting a telescope, one of those things that kind of interested me at the time, and you could get software, I guess, on the scope that would automatically move it so you could stay, say, on the moon, you know, because obviously it moves. And having to make something that would move your antenna for you instead of you trying to move it manually, you know, by your, you know, yourself. That could be a big help. I could see that.
Yeah, my nephew had something like that. He had a, back when he was young, he had, my sister had got one. I don't know where she found it, but you can set it a little, you set it up, I think the point north, and it's supposed to, like I said, calibrate itself, and then it's, you pick up the one, watch the moon, and they had all different star names. You could look at the stars, all their different names and stuff. But even back then, that was cool. I thought that was pretty cool. So, I gotta get in there, Brad. It's that time. I will talk to you on Friday. It's 82GDQ, 82GDQ73. You have a good day.
73 is Ross. This is 82GDQ, and I clear the channel.